Hi guys, welcome back to the Scrubs Off Duty podcast. I'm so excited today. I have Kara, the baby nurse, on. She is so awesome. She's a mom of three. She's a mother baby nurse. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, like Bree said, so I'm Kara. I live in kind of Middle Tennessee area. So yeah, I have three kids. They're 4, 2, and then 6 months. I've been a nurse for 5 years. I graduated in, December 2017. And I did med surg for 1.5 years. And then I switched to mother baby after that. So I guess I've been a mother baby like about 4-ish years. And I'm just PRN. So I only work like 2 or 3 shifts a month now at the hospital because I'm mostly home with my kids. But yeah, I do social media stuff too. So I have my TikTok and my Instagram page. I wrote a book and yeah, that's me.
You wrote a book. I didn't even know that until I was doing some digging.
Yeah.
What is your book about? When did you write a book? That's so awesome.
Yeah, I did it while I was on maternity leave, actually. I was like, you know what? There are so many things I get asked by new parents like over and over again. And people ask me a lot, like over and over on TikTok. And I was like, I just want to kind of have it all in one place. So it's like all the things that like I wish I knew before I became a parent. And, you know, like just the things I get probably asked like the most at my job. So I kind of put it in all one, like small little, it's short, it's like 45 pages, but it's on Amazon. It's like both an ebook and you can get on paperback too, but it's called, All the Things I Wish I Knew, or Why Didn't I Learn All This Parent Stuff Sooner? A Mother Baby Nurse's Guide.
Oh, I love that. That's such a cute name. Yeah. Were you a mother baby nurse? Let me do the math here, or well, you can just tell me, but did you have your first baby before you became a mother baby nurse?
Yes. So I had her at the hospital. I got pregnant literally. So like I graduated from nursing school and I got pregnant literally that night, LOL, which is really funny. I got pregnant that night. And then, so basically I found out I was pregnant on New Year's Eve and took the NCLEX, bought a house and started my job as a nurse all in like just a few weeks. So it was like super crazy, So the first 9 months as a nurse, I was pregnant, and then I had her at the hospital where I work, and then that's when I was kind of like, oh my gosh, like, I had always kind of wanted to do mother baby, but like having her there and seeing how it was, I was like, oh, I really want to work here. And so that's when I kind of like tried to switch over.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So my old hospital's unit, like they kind of all worked on L&D, mother baby, and nursery. Is that something that you do at your hospital, or are you just strictly mother baby?
I'm strictly mother baby. Ours is a split unit. So a lot of like smaller hospitals will be like that. Typically, I mean, it's not always the case, but usually like smaller hospitals are LDRP like that, where they're like, was your hospital, was it smaller or bigger? Do you know?
I like average size, not huge, but not like super duper small. I don't know how many beds they had on that unit though. But
oh, gotcha. Yeah. I just feel like more like the outlying cities around me, like they do LDRP and so they just do everything, but mine is a big, like it's pretty big. So we're split unit. So like I'm just on mother baby, but I'm like also cross trained to the NICU and, like high risk OB. I can go up there to take, I can't take people who are pregnant, but I can take like, people are like have any kind of other GYN surgery or anything, like I can take those patients too. So yeah.
How was your transition from med surg to mother baby? Do you think it was easier?
I was like, at first I was like, no, because there's so many OBs and pediatricians, getting to like learn and meet everyone was like, oh, so overwhelming. I mean, I'm not joking. I'm in a pretty big city, so there's probably like 80 to 100 OBs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So there's so many OBs. And then, like, the pediatricians, there's probably, like, double that. and they all like rotate, so it's like getting to know who's like with what group, because that's so overwhelming. Like some random doctor will show up and I'm like, are they here to see my patient? Like, what group are they with? Like, I never know. I'm like, who is this? It's so, and then there's like midwives too, and it's like, so learning all of that was like very hard at first, just like learning all the new stuff. But then like after a month when I got settled in, like definitely 100% easier than med surg. So yeah.
Good. So what, like, walk me through for the people that don't know what a mother baby nurse does. What is like a day in the life? What do you do? What are your roles?
Yeah. So, so I work day shift. So I get there at like 6:30. So get my assignment. We do bedside shift report, just kind of like in any, any other like unit you would do, but we go to the room. We're not supposed to go in there if people are sleeping, and we really try not to, but like, I don't know, it just kind of depends like what the patient's like requests are. If they're like, don't come in and bother me, if they're sleeping, we won't, but we're supposed to go in there. So I get report. A big part of being a mother baby nurse is like clustering care and trying not to like bother people, let them sleep and bond. So I usually, when I go in there, like, you know, introduce myself, I get the time, or tell them the time frame I'm going to be back. Then I usually go get like waters and snacks, and I make like I call it a don't bother me bag, which sounds really bad, but it's like, that was the name my friend gave it. But I get like a patient belonging bag, and I'll put like pads and briefs and a bunch of stuff, like diapers in it. And I just like pass that out to everybody, and then I go ahead and do like their vitals for the day, their assessments. So I assess mom and baby. Usually the morning is when all the pediatricians and the OBs come by to round. So I have to bring all the my babies that I have that day to the nursery, and the pediatricians will assess them. During that time, like usually that's kind of like if we have any babies that need circumcisions, they're done in the morning. So the morning is usually like pretty hectic, because like everyone's like, they want to leave. They're like asking you a ton of questions. Like the doctors are coming by to round. Like people like need whatever things. They're like, oh, I like ran out of this or whatever. So you'll be running to grab that too. But yeah, like, and then I'm usually like just kind of helping people with breastfeeding. Usually whenever they need me, they'll just call me. I'm trying to chart in the morning. Like I usually try to get that done as quickly as I can. We try to get most people out by like lunchtime. So the morning I'm just like doing like trying to get everyone's discharge stuff done, making sure like the babies have their hearing screens done, labs done, discharge teaching for the parents. If we have any, CCHDs, which that's like where we check the oxygen on the baby's foot to make sure that they don't have any like cardiac issues. We'll do baths, we'll do blood sugars if that's like applicable for the baby. And then yeah, like in the afternoon, usually, so I get people out like around lunchtime that need to discharge, and then like I'll pretty much get an admission right away. So yeah, like, you know, either a fresh C-section or a postpartum patient, and just kind of, you know, getting everyone settled in. So that's kind of a normal day.
Yeah, sounds pretty busy. Yeah. How many patients do you typically have?
So we are supposed to have, so one nurse to three couplets. So like three moms and three babies. I can have seven, but that's like if it's like all hell breaks loose. So. Okay. But yeah, we don't have techs at my hospital, so it's just one nurse to six. So oh, really? What about you?
You don't have techs?
No techs.
What? That's interesting.
What about you? I was going to ask what your ratio is in the ER.
We're typically 1-4. Some hospitals aren't as good with that. My hospital is pretty good with it. Sometimes, like, if we were really, really busy and you had to take, like, some hallway patients too, we kind of, like, teamed up and did it the best we could. But the most I've ever had is, like, when I was in triage, which you're responsible for everyone in the waiting room, and there was like 25, and then I also had four chairs that I was taking care of because we were just so booked up. But most of the time they were pretty safe ratios, because it's supposed to be 1-4. I'm not sure what yours is supposed to be like legally, but
I'm not sure. But can you float to med surg or no?
No. So at least at my old hospital, it was a closed unit. So ER did not go anywhere. There were opportunities, like they asked us if we wanted to pick up on peds when they were short peds nurses, since we're all like, we have all of our peds certifications and the other med surg nurses don't. But other than that, there was like no chance, like you were randomly going to get floated.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad about that.
Yeah, that's like so nice. That's awesome.
So you can get floated then, like you said, right? To the NICU. Yeah. Do you get floated often being PRN? Oh my gosh,
yes. Well, I know some places, some hospitals, PRNs are always the first to go, but we actually go by dates. So we take turns on a schedule, or we have like just a place where we write down the last time someone floated. So it'll be like, we look at the dates and are like, oh, okay, like, you know, it's your turn because you were the, like, it's just your turn again. So, yeah. But
that's nice. I get floated. Nice, I feel like other hospitals don't do that.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that is good. But because I only work like 2 or 3 shifts a month, usually it's like my turn again by the time I like
go. Oh, like, yeah.
I haven't worked on my floor actually in like probably 2 months because I keep being floated every time I work. That's kind of annoying, but it's okay. I like the NICU, but I'm like, I miss my friends, so that's what makes me sad.
Yeah, I bet. So you would never see yourself like transitioning to NICU permanently? Like, you don't like it enough?
No, like I'm fine with it, but definitely like I way prefer mother baby. I don't know, like I like being more involved with like the parents and stuff. So like in NICU, it's, there can be a whole day like where I just don't see the parents at all for like whatever. You know, whatever reason, I'm just taking care of the babies, and I'm like, nah, it's kind of lonely. So, I don't walk like at all because I'm right in the, like a little pod. So it's like just taking a few little steps like to each baby, and that's it.
Yeah.
But then when I work on mother baby, I'm like always running around. So hustling. I'm hustling. I like moving more. So I don't know. That's just, it fits my personality better.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for new nurses that want to be a mother baby nurse? I know you didn't start out there right away, but I mean.
Yeah. I would say like, if you want to get into mother baby, don't be discouraged if you can't get in right away, because my unit doesn't take new grads. And I think that's how a lot of them are some, not everywhere, but I feel like a lot of the ones in my area are like that. So just don't be discouraged. Like if you want to get in there, just like keep bugging them, basically be persistent. It took me 6 months to like transition from my job to mother baby, 'cause I just had to wait for an opening. But just like, you know, let them meet you face to face. Like just literally, I tell people like, just show up, like come in scrubs and be like, hey, I'm, you know, so-and-so, like I work over here, but I really want to be over here. And I just want to meet you face to face and like, you know, bring you my resume and just, you know, if you could let me know anytime you have an opening. Like, I feel like people are scared to do that, but like, like we would not care like at all if you did that. It's not weird. Like if you showed up and you were just like, I really want to be here, and I like, maybe I've emailed you, but I just wanted you to put a face to a name. And then just, like, you know, nag them about, like, coming to shadow. Say, like, I really want to be over here. Is there, like, any chance I can shadow sometime? But, yeah, like, and bring your resume. Bring it, like, printed out on paper, like, to give it to the manager. At least for my manager, I feel like she just gets people writing her all the time. So she just kind of, like, doesn't necessarily have time, or like she just kind of puts the people off to the side maybe. But like if you are someone who's persistent and you like show up, she'll be like oh okay, like I know who you are now, and she's more likely to like actually hire you. So
like anything to get your foot in the door, I feel like that stands out, you going the extra mile to put the effort in and introduce yourself and actually go there in person is really helpful.
Yeah. Did you go straight to the ER?
Yeah, but I was a tech for a little bit, which at my hospital, like working as a tech pretty much helps you get your foot in the door. But obviously you can't do that if you don't have techs. But
right. Yeah. that sucks. I mean, we can, I was a tech, but at a different hospital, but yeah, it's like, there's no way to kind of get, if you're like, oh, I want to be at this particular hospital, then it's like, you're too bad.
Right.
I guess I might.
Yeah. But well, no, I went straight into the ER, which was definitely a little difficult.
Oh my gosh,
no regrets.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change it, but it wasn't the easiest thing in the world for sure. Definitely a hard transition. Definitely, I felt stupid every single day of my life for about 6 months.
Oh,
but you know,
did you have a good did you feel welcomed by everyone?
Yeah.
It was like a good transition. Like everyone was nice.
Yeah, I think everyone was nice. I had really great preceptors. They like walked me through everything. It was just, I feel like my imposter syndrome was just through the roof. Like everyone was so knowledgeable and, you know, so comfortable, and I was just like a deer in the headlights. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
But you know, looking back now, I'm like, wow, I've learned so much. You know, I've grown so much. So I don't regret it. I don't think I would change it, but it was hard, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I cannot imagine going straight to ER. Like, I mean, that's just like, I feel like y'all are so smart. Like, I'm just like, how do you guys go straight there? That's so hard. But
we know a little bit about everything, but like you, like yeah. OB world, we really don't know much about. Like baby world, we don't know much about. I mean, the basics, how to save life, but we're yeah. like, oh, are you 30 weeks? Get out of here. Yeah.
Have you had to deliver a baby or seen a baby delivery in the ER?
I've seen one, but it was basically out anyway. Like she delivered
really?
In the car.
Oh man.
But yeah, I really wanted to see like an actual birth. I saw a birth during my clinicals and I cried. I don't know why. It just like hit me. I don't know. It was so beautiful. I like don't even know the person and I'm like crying. Like,
yeah.
Get it together.
I still cry too. I still cry. Like, I mean, I don't go to deliveries, but like if I watch like any birth videos, like I definitely cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get – I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, I just wasn't expecting myself to cry. It just, like, was a natural instinct. I don't know.
It's just so emotional. It's like, oh, my gosh. It's, it's just intense.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that.
I wish I would have seen an actual birth. When I was a tech, like, the ER techs would always wheel – if a OB patient came, like, to the desk in the ER, we would wheel them upstairs to L&D.
Yeah.
And I was always so nervous. Like, oh, my gosh, what if she's going into the labor right now and, like, I'm going to be by myself in this elevator.
Oh, no.
It never happened. I always kind of wished it happened, but it never happened.
Yeah, like a small part of you is like, how cool would it be to happen? But like in reality, it would be terrifying.
Yeah, I'd be scared out of my mind.
Oh, that's awesome, though. I love that.
How has being a mom impacted you as a mother baby nurse? And then how has being a mother baby nurse impacted you as a mom?
Yeah, I love that. Well, I totally don't think that you have to be a mom to be a good mother baby nurse, because some of my like best coworkers are like not like they are not moms and like don't want to be.
Yeah.
But so I don't think you have to be. But I think for me personally, it's like really been helpful. I think that has given me a lot of perspective, like just to understand, like empathize what my patients have gone through. Even when I came back to work, like to MedSurg after having my daughter, I feel like I became a completely different nurse. Like it's insane. But I just feel like I could empathize more with people. Like even if I had a really like terrible, this sounds bad, but like if I had someone who's really mean, I would just be like, they used to be someone's baby who loved them. Someone loved them so much.
Yeah.
And like, I just felt like I was more like, you know, I don't know. I was just more understanding. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, I try to be more like understanding of people and their situations, and I've learned a lot from people on TikTok actually too. Like that's been huge, people telling me like their experiences or things that like I've never even thought about. Like for example, I had someone who now like we're mutuals on there, but she was like saying how they just like gave what did they do, there's something they did with the baby, I don't think it was a bath, but maybe it was like the they changed the first diaper. Like they changed the first diaper and like didn't even ask her. And like as a nurse, you may think like, oh, well, I'm just like trying to be helpful. Mm-hmm. Like I just didn't want to put you out. But like some parents are like, they want to do that. And so you just have to be like careful and aware and like double checking with people about what you're doing, making sure that you're like letting them know. So I don't know. I just feel like I'm just like more sensitive to like my patients and what they might want. And, you know, as a mom, I don't know, I feel like I try to like cherish my time with my kids more because I've seen like bad things happen. And, you know, when things go wrong in mother baby, it's like really terrible. And so I just try to like, you know, remember that it's a privilege to have healthy children and just really like appreciate my children and spending the time with them, even when they make messes and all that. Like, you know, it's still precious that I have them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. When I had my clinicals on mother baby, I was always so nervous because I don't have kids. I have nieces and a nephew, but yeah. I like babysat my whole life, but I was like, I feel like silly going in this room and like talking to these parents and like, I don't have a child. They're probably looking at me like, what is this girl doing? But that makes me feel better that you said some of your best friends don't have any kids, don't have plans for kids and are still great nurses because I felt like out of place almost. Like this looks like a slap in the face to the parents. Like this 19-year-old girl is telling me what to do. She's never had a kid in her life. Like,
yes. I mean, I still feel like that too sometimes telling people things. I'm like, I don't know. You always feel weird sometimes like giving advice and if it's like a situation that's completely different from yours, but I don't know. Yeah. Like that can, I felt that way in clinical too. I know exactly what you mean, but yeah, it's crazy.
What is like your most common question that parents ask you?
Oh, that's such a good question. So probably is about the meconium poop. Like people are always like super stressed about it, but it's totally normal. And they're always like, how long is it going to last? And it's usually like 3 to 5 days. People are always worried about like how much milk they're making usually. So, you know, that colostrum is normal, that you're just going to make drops. You know, your milk doesn't, you're like full, like mature milk doesn't come in for 3 to 5 days. So I just, you know, really like try to educate people on that and that it's totally fine if they're just making drops of milk. If we need to supplement, like there are times that we like need to and it's applicable, but you know, it's fine if they are like just making drops. Usually I'm like, probably a huge part of my job is actually helping people breastfeeding. That's like the one thing that always like people I feel like have no like, I don't want to say they aren't prepared for it, but I think people think it's going to be really easy or like, oh, I'll just like throw them on my boob. It'll be fine. And it's like the thing that is the hardest, like most challenging thing for new parents. Like they have such a hard time with it. So yeah, I feel like a big part of that, my job is like breastfeeding education, like trying to help people latch their baby. A lot of people ask about like their bleeding, like, is this normal? How much? So like go over education on that. I get asked a lot about like their baby's skin. So like a lot of babies will have newborn rash or like stork bites or, birthmarks or just different like stuff on their body, and parents are, which I totally understand. Like if it was my baby, I'd be like, what is this? But a lot of it is stuff that's just like really normal and it goes away like in just a few days. So a lot of like educating on that and explaining what that is. So yep, those are probably the top ones.
So have you had any like super scary hemorrhaging moments as a mother baby nurse? I feel like that's something I would always hear about.
I've only had like one. I'm very like, I'm a little stitious.
Me too.
I don't know. Are you
too? Yes, I knock on wood all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like I wasn't until I became a nurse. Now I'm very paranoid.
Yeah.
Especially I feel like you need to be in the ER.
Oh yeah.
y'all, like, just all kinds of crazy things.
People drop the Q word all the time, and I'm like, nope, we are not saying that.
No. That's funny. Yeah, so I've had only one, and it wasn't, like, a super serious, like, emergency one. Like, it was kind of a slow trickle. The problem was they were, like, non-English speaking, so that was really hard because I couldn't, like, necessarily explain what was going on and why, so that was just really scary. I feel like for the mom, I felt really awful for her, not knowing what was going on, not being able, like, in the moment when you're all trying to rush, like, as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dad got really mad. I mean, he could speak kind of some English, so I was trying to, like, explain what was going on as we were doing it. But he was, like, really upset because he thought we were, like, hurting her whenever we were – because you do, like, one part of a dealing with a hemorrhage is you do, like, fundal massage, like, pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to, like, give – like, administer something for pain, like, as this is all happening, because you know how it is. There's, like, a million people in the room.
Right.
So someone, I think, was trying to get her, like, pain, like, Dilaudid or something. But – we're doing this, like, intense fundal massage, and so she was in a ton of pain, and the dad was just, like, super mad, and, like, her actual OB was, like, not there. Like, they were off at another hospital delivering a baby. So we have, like, the ER, the OB ED, like, doctor who's just on call there all the time. That's who was there, but the dad was, like, upset why her particular OB wasn't there, and I was just, like, trying to explain it to him. But all in all, it was, like, a very stressful situation. It's, like, the only time I've ever cried at work was that day. So it was really scary. And then the other thing is, this has actually happened when I was on orientation. We had a baby that had a stroke, which is, like, such a weird freak thing. And, like, the baby ended up being fine, but it was, like, really scary in the moment, and that's, like, never, like, happened to any other postpartum nurse I know, and, like, never happened, like, ever again, like, in the whole time I've worked there. So it's just, like, a super weird freak thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How did you catch that?
The baby was just acting, I can't remember exactly, because it was, like, it was literally, like, 4 years ago, but the baby had, like, some weird tone, like, issues. And I feel like it had some weird, like, stuff going on with its eyes. Like, it wasn't quite focusing right. Like, there was just something off about the way it was acting. And we, like, it was me, and I had my preceptor with me. And I think we were just, like, telling the ped, like, she's just kind of acting funny. And I don't think she was, like, eating well. Like, there was something off with, like, her tongue, like, sucking ability. So we just, like, brought it up to him. And he was, like, let's order a, I think it was, like, a head ultrasound or whatever. And they were, like, immediately, like, oh, something is not right, and, like, sent her off to the NICU. But she ended up being – I know she ended up being okay. It was just, like – it's just always, like, so, like, scary in the moment when, like, you have to whisk a baby off to the NICU. It's not fun.
No, not fun for anyone.
Yeah, I know.
I always thought that I wanted to do NICU, and then my niece – was in the NICU, which she was totally fine. Like, she's great.
Yeah.
But I, like, saw it. We went and saw her, and I saw the babies, and I saw everything, and I was like, no, I can't do this.
Oh, really?
Like, there's no way. Like, the
when was that? Was it, like, after you were in your
No, I was like taking my prereqs, I think.
Oh.
I was like, nope. Not for me, because I was like, oh, like, how sweet, you know, the babies, like, they're super sick, take care of them, get them better, this sort of thing. But oh my gosh, they're so tiny. The tiny things, like,
yes. Well, do you think now, since you've been in the ER and you're kind of, like, more, you're, like, used to emergency situations, do you feel like, yeah, like, I'm more prepared, I could do it, or are you still, like, no?
I think I could do it, I just think I wouldn't want to do it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, they're so fragile.
Yeah.
Like, I can take care of a baby, I can handle it, but oh my goodness, I don't think I could do it all day, every day.
Yeah, I get that. They still freak me out. When they're, like, 2 pounds, I'm like, meh.
It's so little.
I'm like, I don't love this.
Yeah, oh my goodness. So fragile.
Yeah. They're adorable. But
yes. Yeah. So cute. I love them. I would love to just sit there and look at them. But yeah. Oh my goodness.
Oh,
everyone has their place, right?
Yes, that's right. How did you get in? I wanted to ask you this. How did you get into social media? Did it just kind of happen or?
Yeah, it just kind of happened. I posted like my first day of orientation, like get ready with me, and it blew up. And then I just kept doing it just for like more documentation purposes, because I'm like, you know, I want to remember this stuff. And then I just stuck to it. I don't know. Like kind of, I never intended on that, but. Yeah, it just happened. How did you get started?
It was kind of, yeah, it was like the same thing. I just posted a video randomly that like went viral. And then I was like, well, maybe. And then I think because of that video, then people were like asking me questions about nursing stuff. So I was like, I guess I'll just kind of keep making stuff and see. So yeah, I just kind of kept doing it. And it's kind of changed like over time, I feel like. I don't know, like depending on what phase of life I'm in, I'm kind of like talking about that. Like, so when I was pregnant, it was like pregnancy stuff. And then when I was like postpartum, it's been like postpartum stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but always still trying to kind of just make content about, you know, like I'll do like my tips for like, you know, things to bring to the hospital or like whatever. So I don't know, just kind of stuff like that. But
What are some of your postpartum tips? I'm sure you're like a pro.
Oh, man.
Do you have any good tips or tricks that you've done or you teach?
I just feel like, you know, really like set boundaries is a big one. Like I don't feel like enough parents do that like in the hospital or when they go home. So just be really firm. Like if you don't want people to visit, like it's just not a good time, you know, just don't be afraid to tell people no. So
yeah,
I think a lot of people think like, oh, I'm gonna feel great, like I won't feel bad, but like you may have had, let's say you were in labor for like 24 or 48 hours and then you had an emergency C-section, like not only did you labor forever and get no sleep, but you also had like major surgery. So people need to be understanding if they're like, oh, like, why can't I still visit? You need to be like, bro, like literally just went through something so traumatic.
Yeah.
And so people need to respect that and like, don't feel bad if like initially you told grandma like, yeah, you can come. But like if things change and it's just not a good time.
Right. You just had a baby. Like,
yes.
But I think it's hard because you're like, oh, everyone wants to meet the baby. And, you know, you're feeling bombarded. But
yeah,
gotta recover.
Yes, I just feel like I feel so bad at work when I like know people really need to rest, mm-hmm. but they like feel guilty. And I just wish people would like don't feel bad, you know, like don't feel bad about it. People will have years to hang out with your child.
Right, right.
So it'll be okay.
What do you do in that moment when there's like a bunch of family there and you can tell that mom needs to sleep? Like, do you ever like hint at like, hey?
Yeah. I'll usually, if I can, I try to tell them ahead of time. Like if they tell me someone's coming, I'll be like, just tell me, like we'll come up with a code word. Like I'll be like, hey, like ask me for like strawberry juice or something. Like, and that means that you want them to leave. Mm-hmm. And so I'll make up, that sounds terrible, but I'll
I think it's a good thing.
I'll be like, oh, hey, like, I need to do this assessment or do something, so y'all need to go.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, oh, it's our quiet hours, or which we do actually have quiet hours, so like I can actually use that, you know, as like an excuse. But mm-hmm. but yeah, if I can feel like someone's getting overwhelmed, like I just try to kind of sneakily see if they need me to get rid of them. So
yeah. That's a good tip. Have a little code word.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. You can tell your nurse like, hey, I'm about to have all these people over and they might like overstay their welcome. So can you like in 20 minutes come back and like get them to leave? So that's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny. Strawberry juice.
Yeah.
Someone asked, what is your best advice for making the parents feel welcome.
I wonder what they mean, like in the hospital? Like, is it another nurse asking, do you think?
I would think, or a student. Sure. Maybe they're saying, like, how do you make them feel welcome in the hospital? Like, it's an uncomfortable place sometimes for some people, or if they're anxious, maybe that's what they're saying.
Okay, well, if it's like, yeah, if it's like a nurse asking and they're kind of wondering how to make people feel at ease, I feel like I really like to, like, bring them just lots of snacks and, like, drinks and stuff. And you try to, like, ask them questions about themselves. Like, I'll be like, how did y'all meet? And, like, just kind of build, like, a really good rapport with them. And, like, you know, just I think a huge thing is, like, telling moms, like, how good they're doing and, like, how proud you are of them. I mean, that makes, like, a huge difference. So just, like, even if they – like, ask questions and seem like they don't know anything, just be like, oh, I'm so proud of you, like, for asking. That's such a great question. I can tell you're going to be such a good mom. Like, you're so, you know, I can really tell you want to, like, you know, like, learn more and understand all of this, and you're going to do such a good job. Like, because I think some people feel, like, dumb to ask certain questions. Like, they feel embarrassed, or, like, if they don't know something, and just, like, really being like, oh, yeah, like, no big deal. Like, I get that question all the time. And, like, you know, just making them feel not embarrassed to ask you for things, and just, like, offering to bring them stuff, I feel like, is huge. Like, you know, like, hey, do you need something to drink? If they're like, oh, no, like, I'm fine. I really love to be like, well, you know, I'm going to bring you a mommy cocktail, like, you know, or just something, like, extra, like, just something a little extra nice or something, just to make them feel, like, good about them. So,
yeah, I think it helps. I love that. I love how supportive you are. I'm sure that really helps make a difference, you know?
Yeah, I try. Most people are so nice. Like, I feel like everyone's, like, they're generally pretty happy. Like, they had a baby, so they're, like, they're happy. Everyone's in a good mood. But every now and then, I mean, you do have people who are, like, I don't know. There's, like, stuff going on. They're just it's not happening.
Yeah.
So, or they don't feel like talking or whatever, and that's fine. But, you know, it just, most of the time it's, like, easy to talk to people and they're excited to be there. So that's nice. I'm sure it's very the opposite for you. You have no idea how anyone's going to be.
Yeah, no, most people don't want to be there. Not a happy experience coming to the ER.
Oh, no.
That's okay, though. I mean, it's a high stress thing. Like, you know, you're a family member or yourself, like, you're not doing well if you're coming to see us most of the time. So.
Do you ever have people who are, like, really, like, nice and, like friendly and happy, or is that, like, very not common?
It's not as common as you would hope. Yeah. But I mean, like, that comes with a job. You get thick skin pretty quick. I learned that very early on in my orientation. But when you do get, like, the super sweet, super thankful, super appreciative people, it's like a nice breath of fresh air. So, but it's okay, because I mean, like, you're scared, the family member's scared, everyone, you know, like, we get it. No one wants to be there.
Do you feel like it affects you, like, when you go home and stuff? Do people's energy, does that, like, affect you, or are you pretty good at, like, leaving it at the hospital?
I would say 90% of the time I don't let it affect me anymore.
Yeah.
It used to affect me a lot more. If it's, like, a really rough day, if they're, like, cussing you out nonstop, then, like, yeah, sometimes you bring it home with you. But most of the time, I'm like, all right, I get it. They're stressed, whatever. Yeah. Like, do the best you can to brighten their day and make their time here feel okay. You know, like, try to make them feel comfortable. Try to calm them down, you know.
Yeah.
To empathize with them.
And your boyfriend, is he an ER nurse too?
No, he's in the ICU, so he doesn't talk to anyone.
Oh my god, is he at the same hospital as you?
Yeah, yes. Aww. But he's on a different shift, so we never really see each other.
Oh, okay.
at work, at least. But he's on night shift.
Oh, gotcha.
But it's so funny, like, comparing different specialties and, like, what the dynamic is, you know? Like, right. He doesn't really talk – I mean, he has family members, but the patients obviously are intubated and sedated most of the time. Yeah. So he doesn't really have those interactions. And, like, you work in a happy place most of the time, right? Like, you just had a baby. That's a good thing. So it's just – it's funny how it's different in every unit.
Oh, yeah. It's so – yeah, it's crazy the difference in nursing, like, just even between – from one floor to another. It's, like, totally different vibes. And you can tell – like, I feel like you can kind of tell where someone works, like, their personality. You're like, oh, you're totally like a this nurse, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everyone has their personality. You're like, I so see that, you know, with you.
For sure. So. For sure. I think you're, like, so positive, so happy. Like, you seem like such a sweet, genuine, kind person. So I feel like you're –
well, you too.
Oh, well, thank you. No, but I feel like you just give off really good – like, I would love to have you as my nurse, sort of thing.
Aww,
as, after just having a baby, like, I feel like you would be so supportive. I love it. I love it.
Well, you're sweet. I love that. Thank you. You're so sweet too.
Thank you. What is the mommy cocktail?
Oh, it's okay. So we have a juice machine in our break or in the nutrition room. So it has like cranberry juice, apple juice, orange juice, and strawberry kiwi juice. So I mix all four of those, and then on the top, I put, like, either a little bit of Sprite or a little bit of ginger ale, and it's, like, so obviously so terrible and sugary,
but it's okay.
It tastes so good. It's really good. Like, it's kind of, like, a little too sweet, but it's really yummy, and I don't know. It just, like, I feel like it just really makes you feel – you're just so thirsty after you have a baby because you've, like, one, you've lost a lot of fluids, and then, like, you're also just – if you're breastfeeding, you just, like, literally cannot drink enough water. So it's, like, helpful for – I feel like it helps get people to pee, too. I don't know. Like, if I have someone who's just, like, due to void, I'm, like, always, like, okay, here, I'm going to bring you, like, three of these, and I want you to drink all of them.
Chug them. That's really funny. That's so special. I love that you, like, go the extra mile and do that because I feel
Well, I didn't come up with it. It's like a thing.
Yeah. No, I've heard of it before. I never knew what it actually was. But still, like, the fact that you do that and offer it or just bring it, like, it just shows that you care and it's making it special. Like, I think fun drinks like that are so fun.
Yeah, I know. I love
strawberry that. Kiwi, you guys have fancy stuff.
I know. We actually, I feel like we're pretty lucky. When I worked on MedSurg, we had like nothing. It was like graham crackers and peanut butter. And then when I went to Mother Baby, I was like, what is this? I was like, you know, Smucker's Uncrustables. We have like protein bars.
Wow.
We have like all of these snacks. We have like fresh fruit. Yeah, we just, like, have all this – we have all this yummy stuff. We have, like, hummus and crackers.
What?
I know.
Hummus?
Yes, hummus. We have, like, these little – you know, those little, like, Sabra, like, hummus and pretzel things? We have those. Yeah, so that's nice. And, like, it's bad because, like, a lot of us eat them, too.
I would. Oh, my gosh. You guys are bougie.
I know. It's, like, so nice. And then L&D, they have, like, even more than we do. They have – like, they have Gatorade and, like, all this stuff. And then that the doctor's lounge. So they have, like, a doctor's lounge up there basically for, like, the OBs who have to, like, sit and wait. If they're, like, waiting on a delivery or whatever, they'll just, like, chill in that lounge. But they have, like, all of these snacks in there for them that are, like, if you think what we have is bougie, that's, like, 2.0. I don't think any nurses are, like, allowed to go in there because they would, like, eat everything. But it's, like, all of the good snacks.
Do they share ever?
Do they what?
Share.
Yeah, that's funny. There's, like, one doctor who a lot of the nurses like, and I think, like, one time they had, like, an extra bad delivery or, like, a stressful delivery, and she was, like, this is my friend who's an L&D nurse. She was, like, come on, we're going to go in. She's, like, I'm going to let you go in the doctor's lounge and pick out whatever you want. She's, like, I think some of the doctors will be, like, you can come in here and get something.
That's nice.
But, yeah.
We have, like, turkey sandwiches, maybe some graham crackers that are, like, cracked, like, not even in cracker form. And we have Shasta. We don't have Sprite.
Oh yeah, we had that too, and then we just got rid of it and then got something that's like a knockoff version of the knockoff. So it's like,
oh,
what is that? Like, it's like not our drinks are, I feel like our drinks aren't great.
Well, but you have strawberry kiwi.
That's so true.
We don't even have a juice machine.
Yeah, I did it when I worked in med. That's like, I did it when we were on med surge. So
that's funny because I feel like the med surge at my hospital, they had a juice machine. They had like soup and like pudding and ice cream and stuff. And we don't really have anything. And man, people always want to eat. Yeah. They're like, I haven't eaten all day.
Yeah. It's like, they're the ones who need the snack.
Yeah, for sure.
Aww. I don't know why. But I guess do a lot of them come in though, and they have to be MPO until you know what's going on.
Yeah. Yes. A lot of them do, but we've been holding patients so much that like we should have some snacks for them when they can eat, you know?
But, I know. That's awful.
And that never helps because then people are hangry, which I don't blame them. Like,
yes, I get hangry.
Me too. Yeah.
You're like, you haven't eaten. I haven't eaten either.
Yeah. No, same. I'm like 12 hours.
That's awful.
When you have like a twin birth, do you still have three couplets or does the ratio change?
Yeah, so it can change. So like in that instance, it might be that I have, you know, the one mom, the two babies, and then I might have, so that might put me at seven, actually. I could have like two couplets. But usually twins are born early and usually they're smaller on the smaller side. So they typically need more like stuff going on with them. Like a lot of times we have to check like blood sugars on them and do a bunch of stuff. So usually we classify those babies as like the, like a level two or level three. So I'll get usually like the twins, the mom, and then I might have like two NICU moms or something. Because we can have moms who, you know, their babies are up in the NICU. So yeah, it can be random sometimes, like, or sometimes we even have like healthy, well baby babies. And I've had like a weird instance where like the mom had to discharge or leave and then like the baby's still there in the nursery. So like the mom is gone, but I just have this like random, we call them a border baby. So they're just like, they're just chilling in the nursery and like their mom's not there. But yeah, so I just have like a random, like a single baby. I may not have the couplet. So it's just kind of random. You never know. It's like, I don't always just have three moms and three babies. It can be kind of a mixture.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Yeah. And sometimes when we may have moms that need to stay on the high risk OB floor, like they delivered, but the mom is on like MAG or something like is going on with her and she needs to stay up there, but like I'll have that baby. But it's really weird because the baby stays with her like up in the room. So I actually have a baby that's on a whole other floor.
Oh. So I don't think I would like that.
I don't like it either. It's not fun. But
I mean, I'm glad that the baby gets to be with her still. Yes. But yeah, that kind of stinks.
Yes, it's the worst. Like I have to go up there. I mean, at the minimum, I need to go up and round on them every 2 hours. So I'll go and like check on them, make sure they're doing okay. But sometimes like they need to go back and forth to the nursery, like let's say like the doctor is there to see the baby or the mom just wants to send them so she can nap or whatever, and it's kind of a hassle to move the babies like up and down on the elevator because they have this, they have a security system on their foot, and so we have to like activate and like put them in, it's called transport, so they can like get on the elevator. And it's just like a whole hassle. So it's fine. Like I'm fine. I'm always happy to take their baby to the nursery and back. But it's always like when you have a baby on another floor, we're always like, ugh. So it's not fun.
You would think that they would just have the unit on the same floor so you could just like walk over there at least. I feel like that's a far way to be away.
I know. It sucks.
But like, do you have the mom too then or no?
No, I don't have that mom. So the like an OB high risk nurse has the mom on that floor. Yeah.
Well, so it's just good at least.
Just kind of crazy. It's like where are my patients? They're all over the place. I don't know.
Running around.
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy. I'm surprised they do that. I feel like I would be nervous. I guess like there's people up there that could be there if something were to happen, but
That's true. It makes me always feel better. I'm like, okay, well, there's like the OB nurses up there who are all like NRP certified and everything. Mm-hmm. So like if ever there was like an emergency, there would be like someone there to help them. But it's more like I'm just going to check on them. Like, you know, if they still need help breastfeeding or I just need to check on, do a bath or whatever, like I can just go up there and do it in their room. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. It happens.
What are some of the certifications you need?
So we get BLS, like, you know, every nurse does, and then I have to get stable certified, which is like this, it's like a low risk neonate course. I don't know, have you heard of that before?
No, I've never heard of that.
I didn't know what it was until I had to take it. I was like, what is this? But it's like a it's like an 8-hour course where you learn about like different metabolic stuff, like problems or issues and stuff, and you have to get like, you have to pass a test and stuff. NRP, which is neonatal resuscitation protocol. So all of just, I think it's just those three then. Yeah, that's it. What about you? Do you have, you have to have ACLS and PALS and everything?
Yeah, ACLS, BLS, PALS, NRP, NIH, CPI, which is like the crisis prevention or intervention, something like that, which is like basically, it's like a self-defense kind of class.
Oh, really?
And then TNCC, which is the trauma, and then ENPC, but I haven't taken that. And then there's one more that I can't think of right now. Oh, there's a lot, but I mean, we see all ages, so you kind of have to be prepared for anything, like, sort insane. Of thing. But I like it. Like, I love continuing education and classes like that. I like learning, so I don't mind it, but...
But that's crazy to keep up with all of it, too.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot. And they're all spread out because I couldn't get into all – there's, like, such a long wait list half the time for all the classes. And so I wish I, like, had them all in the same month, but they're not. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, when does this one expire? When is this, like – it's just a lot to keep track of.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's okay.
Yeah. I feel like it's a lot just having three, so – which is stupid compared to you, like, how many you have. So
no.
I can't even imagine. I have to do my BLS next week, actually, and I'm just like, woof.
Yeah, mine expires, I think, in June, so I need to get that redone. But it's like my ACLS doesn't expire until next year. I wish it could just, like...
Do it now.
Do it now, get it over with. Because there's a lot of combo classes. Like, they should just check you off for both sort of thing, but...
Oh, yeah, that's so true.
That's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have had such a good time talking to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course. You too.
Where can people find you?
So on TikTok and Instagram, my handle is the same. It's just Kara the Baby Nurse. And my book is on Amazon. And you can get it in an ebook or paperback. And I have a website too. So it's, I think it's just carethebabynurse.com. Yeah. So you can go there, and that has links to, like, all my stuff also. So,
well, thank you so much again. Make sure you go check Kara out. Yeah. She's so awesome. Tells you all the good tips. So informative. I love it. Perfect for new moms or people that are wanting to be mother baby nurses. So go check her out. And I hope everyone has a good day.